All right, welcome back. This is the second edition of what we're now calling Spirit of the Game. This is a chance for me, Ed Mate, and
myself, Lewis Harry,
to chat rules. And if you're listening to this, you love the rules as much as we do, I think. Either that or you clicked on something you didn't mean to click on. But if you're here, we're going to try to keep you here and make this interesting. So about once a month or whenever we're feeling in the mood, we're going to do a little conversation just like this about the rules of golf. And we're going to try to break it up into three areas. The first area is talk of the tour. There's always things happening on one of the tours that really raise eyebrows or beg questions. So we're going to start there. Then we're going to move into segment two, rules rants, which I'm really looking forward to because I like to rant. And I like to win arguments too. So I think that should be fun. And then finally, we want this to be a fun, informative, and also engaging opportunity for you, our listeners, to send us your thoughts, comments on the website. So this is all new. And if nothing else, Lewis and I are going to have a lot of fun, whether there's one listener or 2,000. So let's start out with talk of the tour. We just finished up Bay Hill. The opposite field event was Puerto Rico. Lewis, anything happened of note?
So people might not have caught it just because of Puerto Rico's opposite field event. Obviously, Bay Hill gets all the attention during those types of weeks. But particular case where a player and his caddy are analyzing a shot on the putting green. Player, you know, obviously is going to putt this shot, but the as the player is standing a bit away from his ball, the caddy still is on his line of play, extending behind that particular player. As we know, in Rule 10, it talks about what a caddy can and can't do. I know when the rules changed in 2019, there was a little bit of a firestorm regarding caddies standing behind a player on their line of play, when that caddy must remove himself from that line. But in this particular player, the caddy is still on this particular line of play while this player, to a casual viewer's eyes, may be preparing to take a stroke. Now, in this particular scenario, this player was 3-4 feet away from his ball. So whether or not he was in the process of preparing for a stroke is one thing, but it did catch some people's eyes who are familiar with that particular rule. Now, I know, Ed, you have a strong feeling on
shocker
the concept of alignments, and mm-hmm. as we know, in the rules of golf, alignment is one of those things, is one of those challenges that a player has to overcome on his own.
Right.
The Rule 10, where it talks about this, is pretty specific about the player overcoming the specific challenge of alignment on his own without the aid of either an outside influence or a specific alignment aid. In this particular scenario, we can kind of go back to, the rule change in 2019, those specific weeks early in 2019 where players were getting dinged for this specific scenario with their caddy on their line of play extending behind the player. In this specific scenario, this caddy seems to get out of the way in time, and he did. If you're deep into this explanation here and you're not familiar with the situation, the player didn't get penalized in this case. There was no penalty to the player. And I was telling Ed this earlier,
too.
Who
was the player, just out of curiosity, you remember?
I'll have to go back and check my notes. It wasn't
nobody notable.
If you're playing in Puerto Rico to begin with, you're
fair enough.
You might not be notable to begin with. This is one of those things, and I was telling Ed about this. It's one of those situations where it might smell bad or it might come off where it catches someone's eyes, but when you start breaking it down and you really start looking at it from all angles, there really wasn't anything wrong here. We could go on the opinion back to where I said Ed has a strong opinion on alignment. We could go on the down the road here where, is it particularly wrong by the rules? No. Is it particularly wrong by the spirit of the game? Well, right. That could be a different question.
Well, exactly. And to me, this is the heart of the matter I always say I'm a spirit of the game guy, not a letter of the law guy. And the reason I say that is because I'm not smart enough to be a letter of the law guy, because in all seriousness, understanding the letter of the law is hard. There's a reason why we have lawyers writing these things. It's all well and good to say, oh, that doesn't make common sense. But when you really get down into legislating any code, you need to make sure it's written correctly. So I get that and I respect that. The original 13 rules had a clause that said you can't mark your way to the hole. It was kind of weirdly written in 1744 by the Honorable Company of Edinburgh Golfers. So it's obviously very dated. But the concept was you get your ball in the hole on your own. And there's a lot of extensions there. You can't have your caddy hold a limb back as you're hitting a shot. You can't have an umbrella held over your head while you're hitting a shot. All kinds of principles. But when it comes to alignment, getting your ball from point A, the teeing ground, or the teeing area now, into the hole by a stroke or successive strokes, you got to do it on your own. And really, this rule change was put in place to basically stop the LPGA caddies from winding up their players like tops and setting them on the ground and letting them go. And it worked. That is no longer part of professional women's golf. That was, for whatever reason, that was somehow the culture of women's golf. So to me, that was a success. Now, when you start letter of the lawing the whole situation, that's where you get down to when is a player started to take their stance. And I was on the rules committee when that was being discussed, and we got deep into the weeds of the what ifs, and the players could still find a loophole. The bottom line is, I think there's enough avoid the appearance of evil to solve the problem. Here's my issue. And this is a segue into my rules rant of the week. Mm-hmm. Why is it that I can't have my caddy line me up on the putting green, but I can sit there for 12 hours, within reason, and take my long line that I've drawn on the ball, or take my Callaway triple track and put it down on the line? What am I trying to do there? I'm trying to gain an advantage. I'm trying to align myself. What is more critical than alignment when you get down to a four-footer? That's when alignment really matters. When you're hitting a 300-yard shot, alignment is a lot more macro. Mm-hmm. When you get down to the micro, I find it interesting that the rules are so worried about a caddy standing 10 feet behind me, but we're not worried about a line on the ball. So my rules rant of the week is let's change the rules and eliminate marks on balls that are there for the purpose of alignment. And I know, whenever you propose a change like that, everybody starts saying, well, here's the 20 reasons why that'll never work. And I say, baloney, you can figure that out. So to me, it's the big picture of alignment, and that's where I feel we need to make a change.
So I think going back to our original situation here with our player in Puerto Rico, caddy, you know, close enough to the line and player close enough to taking his stance, or you know what some people might consider close enough to take his stance, I think it boils back down to a clarification in the rules that I came across when I was studying this scenario. So one of the clarifications that the USGA put out in regards to Rule 10 with caddies helping with alignment is alignment help before the player has taken his stance. Now, I was reading through this clarification when I was doing some deep diving. Mm-hmm. And
don't you have anything better to do?
Well, unless there's college basketball on it, okay. You know, there's, you know, we could start discussing, you know, what takes priority there in March. But anyways, so with this specific clarification that the USGA has put out, depending on how deep you want to interpret it or actually take it to its full meaning, I think that player in Puerto Rico possibly could have been penalized. You know, there's a part of this clarification that talks about a situation where a player has not yet begun to take their stance. So in this scenario, this player is still 3-4 feet away. You know, a reasonable person would say he hasn't taken his stance yet. But if the player's feet or body are close enough to the position where guidance on aiming could be useful, or the caddy is deliberately standing on an extension of that line behind the play. Those two criteria, I think if a rules official saw that player doing it and a rules official took those two pieces of criteria to its full extent, I think some rules officials might have gotten this player on that rules clarification and could have dinged him for a penalty there.
Yeah, and this is where you get into the letter of the law, and it brings up another soapbox of mine, which I have many, and that is the bedside manner of a good rules official. And I think the gotcha rules official who loves to ding players is the worst kind of rules official. And there are times when you just can't overlook an egregious violation of a rule. It's just too, you know, too, we can come up with a number of examples. Mm-hmm. My favorite example, and this date is a dated story, had to do with two caddies. The Arizona Golf Association was conducting their mid-amateur championship, and a player had their son who was winning by 8 strokes. The player's winning by 8 strokes, and they're just doing a victory lap with 4 holes to go. Somewhere in the course of the last 4 holes, the player's son, who was caddying for him, handed a putter to a friend because he dropped a head cover. Run this up to my dad while I go back and get the head cover. The Arizona Golf Association official on the hole, and I know his name, but I won't mention it.
I can see where this is going already.
Said, you have 2 caddies. That's a disqualification penalty. At the time, it was a DQ. There was no limit, maximum of loss of hole or maximum of 2 strokes. It was a DQ. They disqualified the player. Rick Riley, who is a very famous sports writer, actually featured that story on the most widely read sports column in Sports Illustrated for many, many years was his back page, and it was on that topic and just how stupid the rules are. And I say, no, the rules are fine. It was the official who was stupid, because that's crazy. And I would see the same here. If a rules official in the Puerto Rico situation threw the flag on that one, that is, in my opinion, even if the letter of the law, because again, Arizona, does the letter of the law say 2 caddies? I would have said, hey, that could have appeared like there was 2 caddies there, so don't let that happen again. No harm, no foul. I don't know what your thoughts are on that.
Well, I think I'm along the same lines. And when we talk about the rules of golf, there's so many times where we talk about where in the world would this situation come up, or where would this apply in real life? And in real life, is a rules official in the situation going to think to himself, oh, what about clarification 3 of rule 10? This could apply here. Well, I might now that I've read it. But I think in real life, to use a basketball analogy, because again, I'm a huge college basketball guy, I think in that situation, the rules official is probably going to swallow his whistle, and there's not going to be a foul there.
Right.
Like I said, in our situation here, our Puerto Rico player wasn't penalized. It's one of those situations, again, where maybe something smelled wrong, or maybe something appeared to be a little bit tinted through certain lenses, but ultimately
As my old friend John McLaughlin, those older listeners out there know who I'm talking about, used to host a weekly political talk show, and he'd say, let's get out. And he'd always say an exit question. So the exit question on this topic, would you change the rules? If we are the rules committee of 2, and we're going to forget how we write it. Let's not worry about the letter of the law and how we're going to write it. Would you agree or disagree that we should not allow a player to put a mark on a golf ball that is there for the sole purpose of aligning the stroke?
My heart says yes. I would think that alignment, I think I'm fully on your side where you fall on the alignment argument here. Because I do agree with how the purpose statement built in the rules that alignment is one of those things where it's a challenge the player has to overcome on his own, just like everything else on the golf course. The player has to navigate where he puts his ball on the golf course on his own. He has to make a stroke on his own. Alignment should be one of those things to where the player does that on his own. He shouldn't have any help from an outside influence, of course, from a some sort of artificial aid there. My head is on the other side of this fence here, to where now we're starting to open up another road where we're going to become the arbiter of what can be put on a golf ball by a manufacturer or by
anyone. Put a Sharpie line on there, and you end up.
So do we want to be the arbiter of those types of markings? I don't know. The alignment thing, I think, again, I do believe it's one of those things the player does have to overcome.
Yeah, I think it's such a big deal and such a important, and it, not to mention pace of play. Mm-hmm. Watching these players, and now we see it, and Daniel Berger has become awful. I can't hardly watch it. It's just like, dude, hit the putt. We had Hale Irwin come and do a rules clinic, or a short game clinic, I'm sorry, thinking rules here, for our junior players, and he was all about this. He said, I would much rather see, just as one of the world's best ever, said, I don't want to see any mark on my golf ball. This is a ball. It needs to roll on the ground. So I think if we could just get this out of the game, just like backstopping, that we didn't, backstopping became a thing because players just started doing it. The rules didn't need to change. Just cut it out. You don't allow another player to put a mark, to leave a ball that could backstop you and benefit you. You just don't do it.
Yep.
It's you know, and so we got into a discussion about, well, you really can't write a rule, and that got very contentious. Same thing here. I think it's so important that I think it would be well worth the challenges of writing, as you say, what your head is telling you. Do we want to get into that business? And I'd say it's not the path of least resistance. The path of least resistance is just like distance. The path of least resistance, just let it keep going. But at what point do you draw a line in the sand and say enough's enough? And I guarantee you, if old Tom came back and saw these guys lining it up, he never stopped throwing up. So
not to elongate our exit here, but with just going back real quick to where Hale Irwin says he doesn't want to see any marks on his golf ball. He just wants to see it rolling.
Yeah.
I would then ask Hale Irwin, how would he mark his golf ball to be able to identify it?
Well, what I'm saying, yeah, and he was just saying if there were such a thing.
And then that opens up the road. Yeah. So if you put a mark on your golf ball for the sole purpose of identifying it, then what's to stop a player from using that mark as the alignment?
That's true. Three dots that are dot, dot, dot versus a line.
Yep.
You're right. You get into the devil in the details may derail the whole thing. But I think I'm glad at least that we're in agreement on the spirit of the game. Again, the name of our podcast here, Spirit of the Game. So that's it for this week. We are going to start responding to comments. So if you have any, leave them here. You do need to be logged into the website to do it. But we'd love to hear from you. So we'll definitely look forward to getting those comments for the future. And last thing from me, we need a sponsor for this segment. I just ordered a Jimmy John's sandwich and I'm waiting for it to arrive. So maybe Jimmy John's will, that's a shout out to my friend Daryl Bach, who owns a couple franchises. We need it. We need to do a live read for Jimmy John's. The Totally Tuna, that's what I ordered.
I think our colleague Matthew Walker can probably help you out with the partnership there.
There you go. All right. Thanks, Lewis.
Yep.